It is time for the Home Improvement Show, your forum to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your most burning and pressing home improvement questions. I'm Joanne Brackus, happy to be here with each and every one of you. Hello, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
How was your week?
My week is always good.
Your week is always good.
It's always good.
When Walter looks stressed, it's because many of you have needed his help, and he still happily comes in to answer all your questions. Walter, we want to take the time to talk about the fact that this show airs in at different times on a national level, right? And so sometimes people want to get their questions in and they can't because they're catching it at a later time. But there is an email address, right? Do you think you just got that?
Yeah. I mean, first, I want to apologize for the areas in Canada that we can't receive live calls because we've been getting a lot of emails about that. So they can always reach us at thehomeshow@renovco.com.
Right.
And we will take the time to answer their questions. That, of course, until hopefully one day we'll have it simulcasted so we can take calls.
Yes. But important to note that if you are listening to us outside of Montreal and you're not listening to us live, we love you. We appreciate you. We are working on getting to all of your questions. But again, that address, that email address that Walter just gave, I think is a great starting point. And those questions will be looked at and answered because we love taking care of all of you. The phone lines are burning. 514-790-0800. The best way to get to us is by phone. If you really can't, then of course you can send in a text. But again, it's better to talk to Walter directly. We are going to start things off with Kathy. Kathy, who's been waiting very, very patiently, and she has a question about her furnace. Kathy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Walter. Good morning, Joanne. Thanks for taking my call. So we just had a new electric furnace and electric pump installed a month ago. We are very happy with it. It's really great. So far, so good. So we heard from you, Walter, and from everywhere that the new heat pumps work up to minus 30 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then the furnace takes over. So what we've noticed since we've had it installed is it's not anywhere near minus 30. It's thankfully above that. But on the thermostat, very often it says auxiliary heat is on. So does that mean that the furnace and the heat pump work in conjunction? Or
No. That means probably the way they programmed it was not to minus 30. So you would absolutely need to call the tech that installed it back. Auxiliary heat, that means you're paying the higher rate of hydro and you're consuming a lot more power because the furnace is kicking in. So as a matter of fact, heat pumps, there are some out there now, like Rudd, for example. It goes up to minus 35 even. Mm-hmm. So technically speaking, 98, 99% of the time you're supposed to be on heat pump and not auxiliary heat as far as winter is concerned. So I would definitely call them back. They're sometimes just a question either of in the installation or in the programming part of it.
Okay, so what we do notice is we really lower the thermostat at night. We don't need it to be very high. We like it kind of coolish.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, we increase it by quite a few degrees, like by 2-3 degrees. And that's when we notice that.
That's another story then. That's a completely different story.
Okay.
What you want to do, there's different ways to do this. And what I would recommend that you do is you can have it pre-programmed instead of playing with a thermostat on a daily basis, that after a certain hour it goes down to a certain degree. So going down is not usually a big issue because it does not require anything to work. On the contrary, you're just going to relax the machine. So if you, let's say, go down from 22 to 18, it's not going to be an issue. It's when you're going to ask your heat pump to give you 3 additional degrees right away. Then the furnace is going to kick in because it's the heat pump is not going to be able to supply, quote unquote. So it gives the bigger power to the furnace. And that, what you could do to counter-intense that is very simple. What you do, a gradual increase. So let's say you want your optimal temperature at 7 to kick in. You start asking your thermostat to come up from 5, and every half an hour you add a degree. or okay. half a degree, whatever you want. And that can be pre-programmed. So that way you're not overburdening the system.
Okay. And if we actually do it manually, but instead of raising it by 3 degrees, if we go like at a half a degree intervals, would that be...
That's perfect. That's doable. Okay. That's not a problem at all. Just don't try not to make a big vector between the two. That's the idea.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
Good.
Have
Thank
a great
you so
one.
Much. Thanks for your help. You too.
Take care.
Thank you. You too. Thank you very much.
We have time to start a call with Edward. Edward, who has an issue with his hot water tank. Edward, can you hear us?
Good morning, Joanne and Walter.
Hello.
Yeah, I can. I'm inquiring about a tankless hot water system, hot water on demand. Is it available, and can Walter help?
Yes, it is. It is great if you are not you don't have a lot of people living in the house. So if you are one person to two people, whatever, that works. If you are a family. It might be a bit challenging.
No family. You're just single.
Yeah, then that's definitely a great way to go. It doesn't take a lot of space. It's hot water on demand. It's like for 1 to 2 people, it's optimal. Any more than that, it becomes an issue.
And Renko can do it?
Yeah, we could do it. Not a problem.
Okay, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Is it hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Is it noisy when it comes on?
No, it's not noisy at all. It's the same as a hot water tank. Just it's have that bit of a boiling water type of sound, but it's so minimal you don't even hear it.
And we have the Sedna auto shut off system in our room. If there's a water leak anywhere, it shuts off automatically. Is this electric thing okay for that?
So the electric thing that you're talking about, like an AquaTrip system, that works usually on water pressure. So anything that is pressurized that detects a change in the water pressure, it will cut off after a certain period of time. If that's what you have, then it's not a problem. It's kind of linked to the piping of the house. I don't know what other system that you're mentioning, but this is typically if you're putting that system on the main, that's the best one that you could actually have.
That's the one we have. That if there's any leak in any 6 zones, it shuts off automatically, even with the 1 millimeter of water drain.
Yeah, then that will work very well with that as well.
And when Renault could do it, I can call you.
Yes, not a problem.
Okay, thanks a lot, Walter. Thanks a lot, Joanne.
Thank you, Edward. Yeah. All right, keep those calls coming in, 514-790-0800. You can reach us by text, but even better, by phone. We are having a grand old time here on the Home Improvement Show. Sitting in front of me, of course, is Walter Assey, president of Vernofco, the man himself taking all of your questions or trying to get to all of your questions. 514-790-0800. That's the text line. But a reminder, the best way to get in touch, to get through, is to, of course, call us. There's also, we want to mention very quickly, the email, Walter, where people, if they're listening to us in a different market.
TheHomeShow@Vernofco.com.
Exactly. So if you're in a different market and you're getting the little message that says that the lines are closed, you can always email Walter and we will get to all of your questions. Okay, waiting patiently on the phone is Mary, who's got a question about her neighbor's hot water tank. Not yours, Mary, your neighbor's.
Yes. Good morning, Walter and Joanne.
Hi.
Hi. My neighbor, they're coming back soon after 6 months, and the hot water heater is gas-fired. And they left it at the regular temperature, and the house is heated at 20 degrees, but they didn't do anything before they left. So I don't know, is the pipe going to freeze? Is there anything to worry about when they come home? Can they just turn on the tap and everything's fine?
Yes, 20 degrees is more than fine. They have nothing to do. They have nothing to worry about, and they will have hot water when they come back. It's not an issue at all.
Because when you're talking pipes freezing, Walter, what are we? Is it the cold water pipe? Is it the hot water pipe? Like, what is the concern?
So typically, it's cold water pipes.
Okay.
But it's not really. I mean, the concern is any pipe that is in a drafty area. Okay. So if you have a pipe that is in an exterior wall, for example, or even on an interior part of the home, where there's a draft because, for example, you have a badly insulated rim joist and we are falling to very rigid temperatures, and typically the last few days would have been a great example, and usually it's multiple days, then when the weather gets milder, believe it or not, is when the pipe will burst because of the expansion process. So the pipe freezes inside, and then when it starts thawing, that's when it expands and boom, you have a burst pipe. So typically what you want to make sure of is, yeah, if you're not living in the property, have it heated at, you know, don't go below 16, 17, that's for sure. Especially if it's a badly insulated home, meaning a home that is not recently built, built in the 60s, the 70s, where we have 2x4 structures and fiberglass, and usually would have not more than R12. And very rarely you'll see vapor barriers in those years. So that these are typically the homes that are problematic. Okay, if you do have any plumbing on exterior walls and can move them into interior walls, that would be great. And if you can, at least ensure that they are really well insulated, the pipe itself and the wall behind it.
And what are you using for this, Walter?
If you are in an exterior wall from an older structure, I would go with a urethane type insulation for the wall, because it will give you more R value for the thickness on the cavity that you have. And then I would insulate the pipe itself. They're foam insulation tubes, if you wish. And the trick with those is they have an opening. The opening where you kind of slide the sleeve in have to be facing the warm side of the home.
Oh.
So wherever the heat is. So the idea is not to, a lot of people tape that. The idea is not to tape that. The idea is if you can keep that exposed, but facing the warm side of the home, that will also help tremendously. So what you're doing is you're shielding the pipe from the draft that is coming from the exterior wall and exposing the belly of the pipe to the warm part of the home.
Thank you ever so much.
Not a problem at all.
Thank you to you, Mary. Let's see who's been waiting very patiently on the line. Pat. Pat has a question. I don't know if Pat is Pat or Patrick or Patricia, but Pat has a question about a wall. Pat, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Ah, Pat, Patricia.
Yes.
Take it away.
What I'm inquiring to know is that I want to remove a wall and a secondary wall that's going along the staircase of my house. What I wanted to know is, what is the procedures that we have to do before we even call somebody to come? Should I get a structural engineer before to inspect it and see which ones we have? Because I went to the city and they don't have any plans of my house, excuse me, because it's so old. So I wanted to know, what are the steps I should go through before even calling a contractor?
So the quick answer would be no, not to call a structural engineer.
Okay.
Yet, let me just kind of give you a few hints before you decide whether I should call a structural engineer or not.
Okay.
So, the number one thing is, if the wall is not a structural wall, it will be a waste of money for you to call a structural engineer, because it's gonna just boil down to you demolishing that wall at the end of the day.
Okay,
you secure the electrical and demolish the wall, and you're not going to have any effects whatsoever. Now, a quick way to determine, and it's not necessarily 100% foolproof way, but at least it will give you a good starting point, is you look at the basement and the unfinished area,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the floor joists.
Okay.
If the floor joists go in a certain direction, and the wall that you want to remove is going the same direction as mm-hmm. a floor joist, then that means that that wall is not a supporting wall.
Okay.
So that's one, if you want, one hint that will give okay. you a telltale sign to like what to do next. If it's sitting perpendicular to the floor joist, then most likely this, well, not most likely, there's a chance that this, it could be a supporting wall. Now, yeah, usually supporting wall have to be carried. The weight okay. have to be carried on every floor. So you cannot have it, if you are in a cottage, it's not like you could, it can skip a floor. So if you have one on the second floor, you're supposed to have either a beam on the main floor, another beam on the basement, or another supporting floor wall on in the main floor, and then a beam in the basement or another supporting wall as well.
Okay, so for sure it's going the opposite direction of what the beams are going in the basement. So that there's high probability that it's a supporting wall. At that point, should I get a structural engineer before I get the contractor, or no?
Okay, let me try to confuse you a bit more.
Okay.
How big is the span? Like, we're talking about a wall that is, how long?
The wall in total is, I would say, about maybe 12 feet. I'd want to remove not all of the 12 feet, but I'd want, and it goes along the staircase. It's like aligned on the staircase because it's a cottage. It's going like a cottage style house. It's going up. So it's the wall that's aligning the staircase to go up to the second floor. So I'd say about maybe 8 feet of it, or I would want to remove at least 8 feet of that wall.
Okay. So, I mean, typically a good framing company, good general contractor have access two structural engineers. It's not so major that you need to have, if you want, elaborate plans. So you, first you would see with the general contractor if he have structural engineers on staff or okay. they work through a consultation. The reason I'm saying this is because a lot of the legwork might be done by the general contractor. So that way the fee is a lot lower.
Okay.
The real answer or the more correct answer would be, yes, get a structural engineer, but then these guys come at a minimum charge fee. So if you have a general contractor that have on staff a structural engineer, you're more going to save a lot more money because obviously they're not going to charge you as much for the planning. If not, yeah, you would probably need one. Usually, they should cost, as far as a consultation, anywhere between $800 to $1,500.
Pat, I hope that you go ahead. Pat, sorry,
because my last question, because you have people come to give you quotes, and a lot of them are like, "Oh yeah, we could take out the wall," or no, but they never tell you how they know they could take out the wall, and will they provide, you know. Because that's the problem, is you never know if you could trust or not. Are they actually, so should I ask to have their structural engineer
yes.
certified? Like, do I need
yes.
that paper, right?
Yes,
okay.
You tell them I need the paper with a signed, with a signature that
okay.
that they approve the type of structure that they're building.
Okay.
Usually it's a structural engineer that will recommend what have to be done. So the size okay. of the header and you know the side the posts and everything else. So yeah, I would
perfect.
Definitely ask for that. And even you can ask for a site visit from the engineer after the structure is built, so he can sign off on it that he visually inspected it and it's okay.
Pat,
oh, perfect.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, Pat. Again, 514-790-0800. That is the number to reach Walter Assey. And of course, you can always text us. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to The Home Improvement Show. 514-790-0800. The best way to chat with Walter Assey, president of Renovco, as he takes on some of your biggest home improvement and renovation and repair challenges. We've got callers patiently waiting on the line. I see Alex there. Alex, hold on. We'll get to Teresa first. Teresa,
uh-huh.
Teresa, can you hear
yes.
us? You have an issue with your attic, I think.
Yes. Well, I did something really stupid. Hi, Walter, Joanne.
Hi.
I did something really stupid last week. I let somebody in my house that were going door to door.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyways, make a long story short, he saw the caulking around my window and there was it all cracked. And he says, oh my God, you're losing a lot of heat, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, he came in. I let him come in. I shouldn't have, but he went to check the attic. And apparently I have less than 2 inches of insulation in my attic. And it's supposed to be by law 18 inches. Is that true or false?
Wait, before Walter jumps on, woman to woman, please don't ever let anyone into your house again if you don't know them.
Oh, my God. Joanne, I got in so much trouble.
I can imagine.
With my kids, my boys. Oh, my God. They're still not finished with me. They're so livid.
Okay. But let's not do that again. And Walter can now answer the rest of it.
Thank you.
So just as a follow-up of what Joanne said, anybody that starts their sentence when expecting anything with, oh, my God, is, you know, a red flag right there. Yeah, I mean, people that are knocking on your door, there is many different ways that you need to screen them. They have to have from the Consumer Protection Office a special permit to do door-to-door. So they have to show you that.
Right.
I mean, that's really one way to vet them. It's not really the scientifically proven way, but it's not the safest way of getting things done. And as a matter of fact, most of the scams we hear about do come from people that come door-to-door and you know, make you these deals that are fantastic.
Well,
something is too good to be true, trust me, it usually is.
Yeah, and because it could be anyone with very bad intentions.
Correct.
As well, right?
Correct.
Ideally, it's an appointment.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Right.
You know, yeah, go ahead, sir.
So is it supposed to be 18 inches?
So, like, I mean, yes, the R50 is where you want to be as far as efficiency. Okay. The quick answer to you is it's a bit more, it's not as straightforward as it's 18 inches in your attic. And I'll explain why. The ultimate is you have the proper roof lines that can accommodate an R50 collective insulation. Now, the inches is referring to if it's a fiberglass material, but there are other materials that will require less thickness if you don't have it. So some people, for example, have a very bad roof line that does not, you don't have enough gaps, especially at the perimeters, to accommodate R50 because it will block the... it will block your soffits. So in these areas, you want to transition to a different type of insulation, like spray foam, urethane, because it will take, you could go with 6 inches in these areas, and that will give you the equivalent of 18 inches or the R50 that you would need without blocking your soffits. So what you need is someone that does not have their blinders on when they go to your attic. And that's unfortunately a problem that we see often. It's when someone is specialized in one thing, they do this one thing and they don't look at the big picture. So that person that have to go into the attic, they have to have a 360 vision. There's many things I want to look at. Number one, I want to look at the ventilation that you have on the roof. Do you have adequate ventilation? You have enough ventilators on the roof. Number two, I want to do a 360 turn to see that there's sunlight all around and the soffits are not blocked. Number three, I want to see the temperature in your attic. It has to be very close to the temperature outside. So if your attic is hot, it's not a good thing. Or it's way warmer than what the outside is, it's not a good thing.
Okay.
Then you transition into stereo vents and baffles. You want to see, you want to ensure that you have those blockers at the end where the soffits meet the roof, that no insulation gets blown into the soffit and block certain soffits and certain ventilation gaps. The idea behind ventilation in your attic, it has to be at least 2 inches uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
Correct. So if that's, and the minimum gap would be 2 inches. If we don't have that, you're going to have some condensation issues, some ventilation issues, and so on and so forth. So right. The person that's going to go into your attic have to give you a bit more answers than, oh, you don't have enough insulation. They have right. to tell you, okay, styro vents, check. Ventilation on the roof, check. Thickness of the insulation.
It's a whole ecosystem.
That's right. And then you say, okay, in this particular area, do I have enough to right. put you 18 inches? And if I don't, what are the alternatives? And they have to discuss these things with you.
Yeah, well, they didn't discuss much, I'll tell you. And then I said, well, okay, I'm going to think about it. And he says, okay, call me. But he was back the next morning, and he was so aggressive when I wouldn't sign. I wasn't going to call you, but I want people to know out there, don't let anybody in your home.
Agreed.
Let me tell you, 9 out of the 10 calls we have, because unfortunately a lot of people reach out for, you know, to kind of tell us what happened to them, is people that were too desperate to get the business. When someone is too desperate to get the business, it's usually a very bad sign.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you are good, that means you're in demand. There's a lot of people are looking to hire you.
Mm.
And you have a certain independence. If someone is forcing themselves on you and being very aggressive in getting stay away.
And Teresa, please, you know, don't be afraid to be rude about it. I'm not interested. Thank you.
I know. Anyways, I'm still in trouble. But
you're not in trouble with us. You're not in trouble with us.
Walter, I wrote everything down. 1, 2, 3. I got quite a few friends that are in construction, and I will be definitely calling them in the summer and to come and check and maybe to put more. And like my daughter said, the caulking around the windows outside, which are cracked because they are old, that I could do myself.
Yes.
I mean, all I have to do is go to Canadian Tire and get the proper caulking, right?
That is correct. That's absolutely and now, right.
Do I have to remove the old caulking before I put the new one?
You don't necessarily have to remove it. You have to ensure that the surface is clean enough. I mean, you can remove it and start from scratch. That would be perfect. But you need to know to ensure the surface is clean enough that the new caulking can adhere properly.
Teresa, thank you so much for your call. You're not in trouble with us, but remember, you have the right to say no. Teresa, thank you again.
The only time they get in trouble is when they call me Roger.
Oh, yeah, that was last week. Okay, Teresa, thank you. 514-790-0800. Alex is waiting patiently on the line. We're getting to Alex in just a bit. You're listening to Home Improvement Show. This is the Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Essie, president of Renovco, all of your most burning home renovation questions. 514-790-0800. The call is the best way to get your answers. Alex has been waiting ever so patiently on the line. Alex, we do appreciate you. Alex, can you hear us?
Yes, I do.
Take it away.
Good morning, Walter. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. Great. Take it away, Alex.
Okay. Listen, I noticed a crack on my garage floor about mid-October last year. I mean, nothing of it. And about 2 weeks ago, I started cleaning up the garage, and I noticed that my floor of my garage dropped 3 inches.
Okay.
Two things. Who should I call? And
what happened?
What caused it? I really don't know. The only thing it's going to hit me is when we had the flood. But I had no water damage. I had never any water coming into my home. So that's the only thing I can think of, the floor dropping.
Okay. Well, I mean, usually garage slabs, they settle for a variety of reasons. I mean, poor drainage, poor compaction of the base material prior to the construction. Or because they were built on top of the soil that simply is not strong enough to properly support a heavy structure. If you don't have the right soil, the problem is the expansion and the contraction when the soil gets wet. And that's why you would have the slab drop. Now, in case it is just a slab that is dropped and you want to kind of lift it again, you could do something called a slab jack, which is injecting under the slab to lift it. There are companies like Acton that can help you. with that. They're actually one of the advertisers on our station. So, so they can help you. They do this type of work. They can assess. If it's improper compactation, I'm just worried that that might be an issue that is more chronic. So I would have that discussion with them. And, you know, sometimes if your slab is old and starting to really wear off and you figure it's time for a new slab, then if you are going to take out the old slab, then just, that will be a great time to look at the type of soil underneath, the compactation, how much gravel they put, the drainage, and so on and so forth, and do it from... It's way easier to do a complete correction than
a patch job, I guess.
Correct, because let's say you don't have... That's right, because let's say you don't have the right soil. Well, it's very simple. You excavate, you put sand underneath, and then you do the gravel, the proper compactation. You could do it like all in the right thing. But before we go throughout this whole process for no reason, I would get these guys in and see what they think, and then, you know, we'll take it from there.
Okay. So it's called Acton, you said, right?
Correct. I mean, this is one company. There are others that do it, but this is one that...
another question. Should I call my insurance about this issue?
So the quick answer would be no.
Okay.
because, but again, I say that it's a soft no, it's not a hard no. I say that because anything that is slow and gradual damage is typically not covered. Okay. Including settling this and that, unless there was an occurrence that caused it that we can prove. And that's something that you might have to be a very good salesman to pitch. I would start, if you do have a broker, by calling the broker, kind of having their thoughts on it, and see if, you know, there's if this story can have any legs, and then you take it from there.
Okay. Another question. I have could I still park my vehicles in the garage? Could there be more damage?
I mean, look, the damage usually if the soil is settling, you could transition from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 inches, depending on the movement of the soil underneath. So I mean, you're not gonna have a sinkhole if that's what you're worried about.
Well, plus I have electric cars, so it's a little heavier than usual cars.
That is correct. So that might also contribute to the issue, is because if the sand is not strong enough underneath and you do have movement, then it's not just simply not taking the weight. I mean, the slab can only take so much. So,
All right, well, Alex, thank you so much for your call.
Have a good one.
You
take
too.
Care,
all right, we've got Nancy who's been waiting. We have time for one more, AJ. One more call. Okay, Nancy's been waiting on the line. Nancy has a question about a sauna in her basement. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Take it away, Nancy.
Thank you. I am interested to put sauna in my basement, and I was wondering if it's doable.
What,
as far as the safety for the house.
Yes, but what type of sauna? Is it the dry sauna or the steam sauna?
Yeah,
okay.
Dry.
So it's 100% safe. There's absolutely no issues with that. They are usually self-enclosed rooms, so they tend to keep all the heat inside. You know, you just need the proper electrical connections and you're good to go. There's absolutely no issues there whatsoever.
Excellent. Do you know any company that you trust that I can get in touch with and they would take care of it?
A company that I trust, the answer would be no. There are a lot of sauna companies that install saunas, and there are a lot of also what you could, I'm just going to give you options now. You could buy the unit from anywhere, really, and have someone install it. So it doesn't, if you want, it gets installed like a puzzle, right? So any carpenter can put it together. You just need an electrician afterwards to hang up the electrical. So that also could be done this way. It doesn't have to be
a better deal on the sauna, on the unit itself, then she gets that and then somebody
correct
can install it.
Yeah. So the only time where you're going to have issues by buying the prefabricated modules is if you have a special measurement, or you have certain, if you wish, certain dimensions you want to absolutely have a certain size, then that becomes a bit more complicated, and then that would have to be custom. So that takes you to a more specialized sauna company. But if it's, you know, if you just want to have it, anything that is prefab would work for you, then I would definitely not necessarily go into the custom-made ones because they're going to cost you a lot more.
I don't know where to start. Where do I go for not custom-made?
So I would go, I mean, look, there's a lot of sites there. I mean, you could even go with Wayfair. Okay. If you want to have something just, you know, standard, you could start with the Wayfair. There's also Birch Lane as well that you could do some research on that. And then just by simply doing a Google search in general, a lot of other sites are going to pop out. If there's anything that is local, even better. You know, fabricated here. The only difference is you're going to have those mass-produced saunas where that's how you're going to save. It's because, you know, they will do 100 of them.
It's not a custom piece.
It's not a custom piece where they have to stop the production line and everything else.
All right, Nancy, thank you so much for your call. Thank you, all of you, for your calls. Again, we'll be back next Saturday, and we're going to try to get to as many questions as possible on the email as well, if you're in those different markets. Walter, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk again next Saturday.